Okay.
So me and Beacon had did a song like 5 years prior, and we had submitted it to a music bank. They go by Resonate, and we're like, okay, like they accept the song. And you're like, okay, we haven't heard nothing in a while, so you don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, we get an email like, hey, The Rock wants to use this for The Rock Collection. This is huge. Really? So in that moment, it kind of like taught me, like, don't sleep on your old stuff. Just because you started something doesn't mean that it's not ever going to get picked up. So always save your work, keep your work. So yeah. And then he tweeted Beacon as well, like, I love the drive of this track, you guys did an amazing job.
This is the Made to Advance podcast. I'm your host, Brian Olick. We're here to inspire and equip you for your best future. Well, hey, everybody, welcome to Made to Advance. I'm so glad you're with us today. We've got a great conversation coming, but before I get to that, I want to ask you a favor. If you have been encouraged by Made to Advance, then please rate and review us. That helps us get our podcast out to more people, and it also helps us get great guests like the one we have today. Today, I've got Brendan Coe with us, and he is a West Michigan music producer whose work has been featured on HBO, HBO Max, Fox, VH1, MTV, EA Sports. I gotta have notes here to keep track of all this. He's been on BET, ESPN. He's produced on an album that went platinum. He's Grammy nominated, and he has an incredible personal journey. Brendan, welcome to Made to Advance.
Hey, how you doing, Pastor Brian? Thankful to be here. I appreciate you even just taking the time to reach out, and yeah, here we are.
It is great to have you. I know I mentioned this earlier, but I've been following you for years on Instagram and just watching your journey. And I love how transparent you are, not just about the kind of the business side of things, but also personal life side of things. And so we're just going to unpack all of it right now, because you have a very interesting job that I don't think most people outside of the industry probably really understand. People hear, oh, he's a music producer. And they're like, all I know is that dude's got somehow his hands in the pot when it comes to the stuff that's coming into my ears. Explain to me, what do you do? What's a music producer?
Yeah, it's a number of things. It's from composing instrumentals to recording vocals to writing vocals to sound designing, mixing, mastering, and it's like multiple hats within one. So we just call it a producer. Beat maker. Okay. All of those things. It's kind of like, with the background people do at church, like mixing, making sure everybody's good. He's just playing the background. So
I've always wondered this, like, I see you, doing stuff, with writing tracks and all that. I mean, do you then know how to essentially, like, do you know how to play tons of instruments, or you're picking the patches like, oh, I want an electric sound here. Yeah. But yeah, like, what instruments do you play, or do you just know how to use technology to make it all sound good together?
Yeah. So I play piano for the most part. Used to play trombone back in the day, but most of it is just like sound patches on a computer. It's crazy how technology is now. You can just click in notes. But most of it is playing on a piano through different patches and music libraries on a computer.
Okay. And so explain like, when we think of a songwriter, and it probably depends on what kind of songwriter you're working with, but how does what you do jive with somebody who is writing a song? Like, are they coming in with lyrics and melody, and then you're building out the rest of it? Are they coming in with just lyrics, or are they starting with sometimes people start with a producer, coming up with a track or at least a beat. And then, so how does that usually work between you and the songwriter?
So it's a number of different ways. I'm not necessarily signed to a label. So, I've had it where people have melody ideas and they hum it to me, send me voice memos, and I build around that. I've had other moments where I create a track, just playing in the studio, post it, people want to buy it. And I've also been in studio where people already have like an idea direction they want to go, and we just build from the ground up. So it's, yeah, it's really, it can come any type of way.
Okay. Gotcha. Yep. Mm-hmm. And you, we talked about this a little bit earlier, just before we got on live here, but you started producing at a super young age. How old you say you were when you started producing?
I want to say around anywhere between 12 and 15. I grew up in Atlanta, so music was all around me. And yeah. I remember one of the first soundtracks was Space Jam, the Michael Jordan one.
Yeah.
And I just hummed it, kept humming the melodies. My mind was just like separating sounds, like, oh, what sound is this? And I was asking those questions. And then, yeah, my mom, she got me FL Studio, which was the first program I started on. And I was just, I don't know if I'm moving too far ahead, but yeah.
No, you're great. That's So FL Studio, you're just like putting it on your computer at home and starting to mess around with writing parts and stuff?
Yep.
And are you writing at that point songs from scratch, or are you like taking stuff you've heard other places and trying to kind of emulate it? Or what are you doing at that young of an age when it comes to the production side of things?
Yeah. So yeah, I was kind of making my own grooves, but then I would also listen to other tracks and try to emulate those. And then that kind of taught me like how many bars should go right here, how many counts should go here. So it was a little bit of both. So,
okay. Mm-hmm. And then keep walking us forward. Like, so your mom gets you FL Studio, you start messing around, you're learning all that. How does the journey progress as a producer?
Yeah. So I was in seventh grade, and, this was like before, you know, I came to Christ. But yeah, I was making music, lived in Florida at the time. So, my mom got a job in Michigan, and then we just moved up here. And then that's how I met Pastor Troy at the Edge. And he was like, hey, you know, would you like to be down with the Elements team? And then things just moved forward. I can get in later to how, you know, I gave my life to Christ, but, but yeah, it just moved on to that. And then the people I was working with, like Steven, Beacon Light, Kiwi, you know, they started elevating, and we just, yeah, that's how it came about. Yeah.
So you'd been all those from those early years of, well, how old are you when you moved to Michigan then, about?
15.
Yep. Okay. Gotcha. Yep. So you're still relatively early in the whole journey as far as production and whatnot.
Yeah.
You connect with those guys. Are you a Christian by the time? This is so funny. I've never had this. There's a fly in my office. So if you see me waving at random things, that's what's going on.
Sorry.
It's hilarious. At that point, are you a Christian yet when they're asking if you want to hang out with the Edge crew or tell me about your spiritual journey.
So at a young age, I remember giving my life to Christ. I was listening to, who are they called? Cross Movement. Do you remember Cross Movement or no?
Yeah, I do. Yep.
Yep. So I remember at a young age giving my life to Christ, but because my father wasn't in the circle, I still struggled with identity. And I kind of just through high school years, I just was, you know, just living how I was living until I got to a point where I was like, I can't do this anymore. And gave my life to Christ in the room. And then that's when we heard about the hip hop church through KCC. And then, yeah, it just perfectly, like how it came about was just perfect.
Wow.
So, yeah.
When did you decide that you wanted to really make music producing your job? Like, this is what I'm going to do with my life.
I would say around 19.
Yep. Okay.
Around 19 when I, first came to the edge, there was SoundClick and there was SoundCloud, and I just kept posting beats, and then people were taking notice. And then I was like, oh yeah, I think I could really do this. I was working a bunch of like customer service jobs in between. And when people started buying more beats, I was like, I feel like I can do this because I'm making more doing this than working those jobs. So
yeah. Yeah. How old were you when you started making, I mean, that's, I was going to ask about what, if you were trying to do other jobs and if it was a journey, but so you're doing these other jobs, how old are you when you finally go, I can quit doing these other things and just give my time full on to producing?
Yeah. I want to say around 27. So yeah, there's a lot of things that worked up to it. Yeah, around 27. So,
okay. And how old are you now?
34.
Okay. So for about 7 years, you've been full-time music producing.
Yep.
Wow. It's so amazing.
Yeah.
Well, you've worked, I kind of referenced some of the places that your work has been featured, but I really didn't talk about who you've been able to work with and just kind of what those collaborations have been like. And I thought it'd be fun just for you to mention a few of the folks maybe that you've had the opportunity to work with over your career. You've had some pretty interesting connections.
Yeah. First and foremost, the first people that I mentioned, there's Beacon Light, Steven and Kiwi. Those are like some of my friends that I've been in the studio with. But other cool, are you saying like, as far as like resumes, music resumes?
Or? Yeah. Like, yeah. Okay. I mean, even I'm thinking of when we talk about you produced on a platinum album, there's, you know, some of those people that you've worked with, that'd just be fun to hear.
Yeah. Definitely NF.
Yeah.
Cause he's a super, genuine guy. And he really looked out for me because, sometimes in contracts, you can kind of get finessed a little bit. But his work ethic is just crazy. So, and he was the first one to where things started taking off when I was posting. He was like, hey man, can you send me some tracks? And I sent him a bunch of tracks and then he was just buying them. He was like, yeah, I'm gonna use this. And yeah,
wow.
That's when it really started to take off, like around when I was 27.
Okay.
Yep.
That must've felt so exciting to see him being interested in your work and just kind of elevating you to the next level in your professional journey.
Yeah. It was a surreal moment. So yeah, it was a lot to take in. I felt like it was moving too fast. So
yeah. Anybody else interesting you've collaborated with?
Yeah, The Rock. That was cool. Yeah. That was crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Just seeing unpack them. That. Like what happened?
So me and Beacon did a song and this is just to clarify the, how long it can take before these things happen. They don't just happen just like that. But when they do happen like that, it feels like it moves fast.
Okay.
So me and Beacon did a song like 5 years prior and we had submitted it to a music bank. They go by Resonate. And we're like, okay, like they accept the song. And you're like, okay, we haven't heard nothing in a while, so you don't think anything will happen.
Yeah.
And then 5 years later, we get an email like, hey, The Rock wants to use this for The Rock Collection. This is huge. And I was like, what? Really? So in that moment, it kind of like taught me like, don't sleep on your old stuff. Just because you started something doesn't mean that it's not ever going to get picked up. So always save your work, keep your work. So yeah, and then he tweeted Beacon as well. Like, I love the drive of this track. You guys did an amazing job. So yeah,
what's it feel like when you've got Dwayne the Rock Johnson tweeting out work you've done? Are you like just real chill about it? Like, oh, all right, or is it like? I mean, I feel like I'd be like, The Rock is tweeting our stuff right now.
Yeah, it doesn't matter. Yeah, yeah. So Yeah, no, I was geeked. My wife will tell you. Yeah, I was super geeked, but I was still trying to, play chill and yeah. So yeah, I was super geeked. I'm not gonna lie to you. I know, like, I'm kind of like giving off chill right now because I'm a little nervous. But yeah, I was like, what? Are you serious? This track?
Yeah.
Out of all the tracks that get submitted, you pick this one. So
yeah, it's really congratulations, man. That's really really cool. I love that. When you're like, one of the things I notice when you'll talk about when a song gets placed is like, you don't always, like, I remember once you posted something, you said, oh, you know, they picked up this song on this TV show and never seen it, but hey, I'm glad that they're using it, you know? So is it like these shows will go to this bank you're talking about and they'll buy or the rights to or whatever the song, and you won't even know about it until maybe you get like notification they're using it? How does that work? How does that whole process work?
Yep. So the music companies that we work with, there's a few of them. There's Honestly Good Music. There's Resonate. There's another one called Audio. So we submit to these music banks and they accept them. And then the companies reach out to them like, hey, do you guys have any upbeat tracks or like sad tracks or, and they basically just push them out. And then, they'll pick them up and they'll be like, oh yeah, I like this track right here. And then we get like an email like, hey, so-and-so is interested in this. And sometimes it doesn't always go through. So like sometimes we can get our hopes up. Like there's some emails where it's like, oh yeah, we're 90% sure they're going to pick this up. And then they don't hit this up. That's pretty much how that works. So
do you have any input on if they get to use it or not? Or is it once the song is submitted to one of these platforms, like if it gets picked up, like that's on them. Like what I'm getting at really is if you ever had like your song getting picked up by a show or something that you're like, oh, I don't know about that, you know, or is it like once it's submitted, they can kind of use it for whatever?
Yeah. So that is out of our control. And Beacon and I have both wrestled with that. And there has been sometimes where I don't share anything, like if it's against my beliefs.
Yeah, I got you.
So I guess we knew our intention doing it. And that's not how we meant to do it. There's been some things like that as well. So unfortunately, but.
Well, that leads really, I was kind of interested to press into this area a little bit of you're in the entertainment business. Ultimately, you're in the music business and there are a lot of really cool things about being in the music business. And there are also probably some interesting dynamics that sometimes you have to navigate. I just start out by saying, as somebody who follows Jesus, is there much of like where you have to deal with kind of tensions with the industry, or you just make your music, submit it, and you don't really have to face much when it comes to kind of tensions between faith and culture or things like that?
There is. Normally, I submit it because I know my intentions, but sometimes I have to even take breaks from doing music and take hiatuses to make sure like the mental health and everything is intact. There can be some dark sides of the industry as far as like contracts and getting played. And because there were a couple songs in the Christian industry where I got played. I didn't receive all the money or the residual income. And I got a shout out NF because one time he was like, hey man, I'm gonna make sure you get your credit. This industry can be very like cutthroat, try to cut out the middle man. And that's just, I'm just being honest. So I had to deal with that and myself too, not to take things personal. Cause in my mind I'm like, why can't everybody make sure everybody is taken care of instead of like just using this person and then giving the main producer the credit and just cutting out. So I dealt with that a lot too. I don't know if that answers your question, but
yeah, it totally does. Do you feel like you consciously sit there and think, I'm going to try to influence the industry? Or is it more like, hey, I'm just trying to make good music and hope that this naturally is going to influence the industry and the broader culture?
Yeah. Yeah. I always like to try to influence the industry by just being honest, making songs that are going to uplift people, talk about the struggle, talk about how I'm overcoming the struggles. Just trying to love. And I just realized not everybody is the same way, unfortunately. Not everybody is in a church saved.
Right.
So yeah, it's wolves in sheep's clothing everywhere. So,
Sometimes you're working with artists that are out there established, you know, touring all this. And then other times you're producing your own tracks. I mean, it's your own song start to finish. Yeah. Have those been picked up? Like, do you submit those too? Or is that just more of like a, hey, this is my personal project to write when the songs are fully and solely yours? Like, you're doing the rapping, you're doing whatever.
Yeah. So they're, yes, I mainly do it for my own therapy. I did submit one before. And they thought it was too Christian. So I wanted to be able to change that, to be honest. Like, why can't we talk about God? Why does it have to be like I'm the best or I'm winning? Now there was one of my songs that got picked up on All American. I found a way to have like a with Beacon, it's called Better Times. And found a way to kind of navigate a positive message without being too saying,
yeah,
Corinthians chapter 13, like, you know, but
yeah,
but yeah, in that TV and film world, that is one of those ones that you got to kind of find a way to implement God without saying it. So,
Yeah, that makes sense. I feel like some of the songs I'll hear Tommy Prophet do that I don't know which ones have gotten picked up, but I feel like he has a way of sort of getting at faith themes without being so hitting it on the head that somebody's going to say this is too much for mainstream TV or whatever. So it feels like it's a tough line to walk. Like, how do I get my message out and be true to my, you know, what I'm trying to say, but also do it in a way that the culture can kind of, you know, get on board with, and particularly people who are picking songs for shows. Do you find yourself, I mean, you've got a job where you're home alone a lot. I mean, your kids are around. How old are your kids?
I have a daughter who's 8, a son who is 6, and then twins who are 3.
Woo. Okay. You're busy.
So, very busy. So,
the older two are in school, and but at the end of the day, you're home a lot. Do you feel like you're always like, you wake up and you're like, man, let's go when it comes to writing and producing, or do you have to do things to help keep yourself motivated and excited about what you do?
Definitely. I could easily get complacent. I don't always feel like that. I wake up at 3 every morning and,
I'm sorry. Did you just say 3 as in 3 a.m.? Trace.
Hey, I got 4 kids. You know, like when we're parents, you either are gonna stay up late to get your break, or you're gonna go to sleep when they go to sleep and wake up early.
Yeah.
So I wake up at 3, sit there for like 20 minutes, prayer, meditation, and then I'll go to the gym around 5. Okay. So I have to do those things to have a successful day, just to be like, oh yeah, I spent time with God. I went to the gym, just preparing for the day, just to get ahead of the day. So yeah, constantly have to get my body moving before I just wake up and go sit on the couch or at the table or, you know, cause it could be easy to be like very mundane, just seeing the same walls every day. And so,
right.
Yeah. Don't always feel like it. So
What time of the morning are you usually sitting down and actually like you're in front of the computer and you're starting to go?
Around 9:30 or 10.
Okay. Yep. Gotcha.
So it'll be like 10 to 2 and then pick up the kids from school when they were in school. But
yeah. Cause it's when your work is entirely creative. I mean, it's not a normal 9-to-5 thing where you can just like probably go 8 hours creative. I suppose if you had to, but it's hard to like deep thinking or writing. I mean, it's just hard to produce creative for that long a time. So you're saying you can like do 5 hours ish at a stretch is what you're doing. It sounds like.
Yeah. And you don't always feel creative, all the time. So you have to, you have to have some discipline within that. Mm-hmm. So.
Have you discovered any tricks for you when you're not feeling creative that kind of helps spark something what do you do when you're like, I'm just not feeling it? What do you do to kind of get yourself in the mode?
So when I'm not feeling it, sometimes I will watch other producers, or I'll just simply just go outside for a walk just to clear my mind, see what I want to do. I'll journal. And some of those things help me to get going. Or I'll listen to some music that I like, whether it's like an instrumental or a TV film. Just take a little bit of a time just to regather my thoughts. And it always helps. And sometimes I'll make something regardless, whether I like it or not, with no judgment. Because sometimes when you're burnt out, it can be easy to like, oh, yeah, I'm not good enough. Or
Yeah, it seems like a lot of creatives would say a big strategy is just to create no matter what, to sit down and, you know, writers will say, no matter how much I'm in the mood or how badly I feel like my writing is at that very moment, I will write this number of words today just to keep pushing. It sounds like that's kind of a discipline for you. It's like, I'm going to create no matter what.
Yep. It's just like, you know, going to the gym. Some days you're not going to feel like it, but you know, you get in there, you're still getting results. Progress is still being made.
Do you find ideas come to you throughout all of life? Like, are you one of these people who's got your phone, you've got like, you know, voice notes where you're constantly leaving yourself voicemails, like, oh, well, you know, you're singing something, or you're like making a beat and then you're coming back to it? Or are you like, no, it's 9 to 2:30. That's when I do my thing. How's it work for you?
Yep. All of the above.
Yeah.
Yep. I hum. Hum into my phone. A bunch of things. Like sometimes I'll try to make something out of a cup. I'll just find all type of creative ways to stay, because there's many different angles to approach it. So there's really no rules. And I think sometimes we can talk ourselves out of certain things because we like limit ourselves to a certain way. And sometimes you can pull inspiration out of many different things. Going for a walk, hearing the breeze on the trees, hearing the birds.
What's
creativity
the most
all around us.
What's the most surprising place that you've gotten some inspiration from? Anything come to mind?
I would say the Solveggio frequencies. I don't know if you heard of those.
I have not.
Yeah. So they're it's like music at different hertz. I know the standard music is 440 hertz. And they make claims that these sounds can like open the right side of your brain, like the creative side. Listening to meditation music, Asian music, like just listening, I think going outside of your normal causes more like creativity. And I love movies. So like Marvel movies, like when I hear the sounds in the background. You know, like a lot of music Tommy does, very epic. Like I love those type of epic sounds.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting because, I mean, I think this is going to sound funny, but of course I do a lot of writing both for teaching I'm going to do, but also now I'm working on a book project.
Oh, wow.
And I will find inspiration in the weirdest times. And particularly though, there's something about action movies or movies that are kind of have some drama to them. Yeah. And there will be some kind of thought or feeling that just gets stirred up in my heart. Mm. And I've had times where like we finish a movie and I'm like I'm sitting with my wife, Christina, and I'll be like, babe, I got to go right now. And I'll go for a drive and I'll like go to a park and I'll take my iPad. It's got a keyboard, you know, little deal on it. And I'll just start like typing like crazy because I just have stuff going. And it's sometimes the weirdest movie that was the catalyst, but it just unlocks something. It's like you get put in a different environment and it taps different things maybe and it stimulates your mind and heart in different ways.
Yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. I like drives too. Drives are nice too. Yeah. And like, that's interesting though. Yeah. It's funny where inspiration comes. Cause it like when you're outside of your norm, it just, you get more like, I don't know. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And that's a good application point for folks, not just in the in creative work, but in any kind of work, when you're trying to solve a problem, when you're trying to wrestle with what's the best next move. Sometimes, you know, it's just like, man, get up from the desk, take a walk, do something that's going to freshen you. I've had times where I'm trying to work on a strategic problem and I play a worship song and there's just something that happens inside me where I come back from the song and my whole perspective has been shifted. Wow. Now, here's a question for you. So have you ever listened to something, like you recorded a voice memo or something, and have you ever listened to it and you're like, what in the world was I thinking? That is the goofiest idea I've ever had.
All the time, like especially if you hum something at night and then you wake up the next day and you're just like, that doesn't sound how it sounded in my head. All the time.
Gotcha.
Yep. Yeah, and funny. Yeah, sometimes you just gotta just go in the moment when it's there. Cause you know, inspiration can come at weird times. Like yeah. You can have a dream about a melody and I'm like, man, I love that. I should go move on that now, but I'm just so tired. And then you just miss the moment. Or I'll get inspired when the family's all around. I'm like, why? Why is this happening now?
Have you ever woken up your wife because you're trying to like record a covert voice memo because you woke up to a dream or something with a melody in your head?
I have not. No.
Yeah. She's like, Brendan, cut it out. I don't care if NF's going to do the song.
Yeah.
Well, one of the things that's really cool, if folks aren't following you, they can check you out on Insta, but you're really transparent about your mental health journey. Yeah. And I would just, mental health is obviously a really big, really important subject. Yeah. And I would love if you could just describe a little bit about, man, how did you come alive to like, hey, I've got to pay attention to this in a very intentional way. Like help us understand a little bit of your mental health journey.
Yeah. So just to give a little testimony, you know, I grew up without a father. So like I had my rejection issues. My mother she was a great mother, hardworking mother, but we also had, you know, our issues in different ways. You know, she was in a lot of relationships, that made me struggle with, mentors, because of that. I'm just going to say corn because I don't want my phone to listen and stuff happen. But explicit sexual content. And I struggled with that my whole life. And that just kind of, it just messed with me. And I didn't know how much it was like greatly like impacting my confidence. Fast forward like almost 20 years later, I finally gave that up. God allowed me to, because I remember praying, like, please take this away, please take this away. And eventually I got to a point to where I was able to completely let it go. And he showed me that I had the power to let it go, not in my own strength, but he said, he basically showed me I had it. So I was able to let it go and went to therapy as well. Cause I do believe in Jesus and therapy to go back to those dormant places that was lacking. And when I finally let it go, I started just receiving all this revelation about who I am that was bigger than just music. And yeah, I'm gonna get kind of emotional talking about it, but I seen myself how God seen me for the first time. Like even though like I'm getting all these accolades and placements, I was still struggling with identity. So I took like a long, about 3 to 5 months off of social media. Did a major dopamine detox. I was rarely on my phone. Spent time with my family, and in that time I'm just like weeping a lot, like having a lot of different healing childhood trauma. And when I finally came back to social media, I just started just sharing everything about the journey, from what I was writing to how social media affects our mind to what we consume ourselves with. So if you have a sexual addictive personality, you should know not to watch shows that push that, because that affects your mind in more ways than you know. So I had to be very strict about what I was consuming myself with. But yeah, that's how I got into the mental health journey. So
thank you for being so transparent about that.
Yeah.
You talked about when you were kind of getting your mind free from seeing images and actively looking. Did you have to, after you quit going to sites or wherever to see stuff, did you have to really be intentional to not kind of think about those memories of things you'd seen previously? Or was it like, you know, it just started to just go away?
It literally started going away because my algorithm and life changed. I was no longer desiring watching certain things that even led to that. I had more of a drive to like feed myself with positive content. Mm-hmm. And the more I did that and then took the areas of why do I feel like viewing this? So like, if let's say I got discouraged or down, I would always run to that. Whenever I got bored, I would always run to that. And I started analyzing those patterns. That paired with what I was consuming, I would take those feelings and I would like go for a run, or I would go for a gym. I would go to the gym, and that would completely change it, like everything, to where I don't even have memories of what I used to watch because I.
Wow.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. That's so good. We just got to pause there because what you did was so good, and so many folks, whether it's images or other kind of struggles, just need to just lock into what you said. Because what I heard you say is, on the one hand, you got really serious about, I know there are certain influences that I just have to not just cut yourself off from the stuff that you might say is really bad, but anything that's kind of getting in that direction, shows, right, maybe music, whatever that might start to go down. You're like, I gotta keep arm's length. So yeah, you start doing that. But I love what you said about you also started consuming positive things more. It makes me think of when Jesus tells that parable of the person, cleans out the house. And says, if you don't put something in it, then, you know, what is it? Seven more demons are going to come back and fill that house or something like that. And yeah, so what I hear you saying is, like, I'm trying to clean out my house of stuff that shouldn't be in there. But yeah, I'm also saying I've got to ingest and consume positive things that are going to encourage me, which I think is so good. But then I love what you said too. And this is where it's so important. We all got to know our own triggers. We got to know what takes us to not good places.
Absolutely.
And so you know, like, okay, I know, you know, I'm feeling this way or that, like that's where it's going to take me down a road that I don't want to go down. But then not only you recognize that, but you've got a strategy on what do you do right then? But it's back to that idea of, I can't just say, well, don't go down that road. I got to say, well, what road am I going down? Because, you know, just sitting here feeling bad is not a solution. So then you're going to the gym or doing something. I just, man, so good. So good. Yeah. That. And you started seeing a therapist. What was helpful to you about the therapy journey? Sometimes people feel like, oh, man, you know, I don't need a counseling. I don't need to see that. And you know, sometimes it's like, I don't know, people can be weird about it, but yeah, what was helpful about the counseling experience?
Man, just feeling like I had somebody who would actually listen. I don't know, my therapist, he's really great, to where you ever meet somebody and they just like dump on you, they just have that gift where you just start dumping. So, you know, the more I was talking to him and he was listening, you just don't realize what's all there. Like, I'm already naturally an introspective person.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, just having, for me, it was like having someone listen, and then he gave me homework or what to do. Like, you know, even from mother issues and that stuff. Like, yeah, I don't know if I answered your question, but yeah, for me, it was just having somebody actually listen.
Yeah.
And came to like my own conclusions or what was affecting me, then he would ask questions that would make me even go deeper. But why did that affect you? You know what I'm saying?
Do you still meet with him today, or was that a past season and not so much anymore?
Still meet with him. And right now we're once a month. When we first started, it was once a week. So, he's seeing some great changes. I think it's still important to still do it, even if you think that you're, you know, you think that you're good, because it's just good to have that. So,
and when you talked about some of the, hey, I'm not going to watch this kind of show or that, and you're not talking about just like really bad stuff. You're talking about shows that still would kind of be at the edges of not being helpful. Have you maintained the same kinds of like boundaries and sort of precautions, or have you gotten, as you've gotten more healed and further on your journey, like, have you loosened up on some of that stuff?
I've loosened up, but if there's like a show on Netflix that's about to start it, I'll hit that fast forward button real quick.
Okay.
And I will say it has also changed my relationship with how I view women. I see them as actual beings instead of that way. So yeah, it's a whole bunch of relearning, but
yeah,
now that, cause I'm a pretty, I can jump into something very strong. So like now I have loosened up a bit, but I'm aware of like, if I am about to go back down that trail, like I don't dwell on it. Like, yeah, I seen that, fast forward, don't dwell on it.
So. Yeah. Well, I only ask that because I feel like sometimes, whether it be images and seeing things or other kinds of addictive patterns or habits, sometimes I feel like people will make the immediate change to get to a good place, but then there's a place probably to ease up, you know, like you're, you know, like you've done, ease up a little bit, but then sometimes I feel like people ease up too much and you're like, you're going to end up right back to where you were. So what I feel like I hear you saying is, hey, I've eased up a little bit, but I've still got some precautions, and I'm making sure that I'm not playing it too fast and loose with what's coming into my mind and my eyes and whatnot.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, because sometimes you just can't run from it. Like it's gonna come, but you got to be able to have that fortitude to still stand strong and navigate. Because yeah,
you talked about a few minutes ago finally coming to a place where you saw you as God sees you, and really getting rooted in your identity in Him. Mm-hmm. Tell me what you learned about how God sees you,
man. So it started with really just being still and just really, I got into meditation, very heavy at this time. And obviously I'm still praying, and I know there's a bunch of stuff circulating about, you know, meditation being bad. But, in that moment where I was sitting there and praying and just being still, closing my eyes, it literally kind of felt like He showed me my whole life in full circle within like 5 minutes, from all the things I experienced, from getting molested to, you know, viewing this type of way, all these rejections. Why have I always felt like the black sheep of the family and all this other stuff? And He essentially showed me that I was set apart for something bigger, to help other people out of this pit, because a lot of people don't talk about it. I've had situations at church where I confess my sins, and other people didn't do it just so they can stay on the stage. But I was always the one to, you know, to do that. So He basically just showed me that I have those leadership qualities. I never wanted to be on stage. I never wanted to be in the spotlight. And He was basically showing, like, it's time for you to start speaking and sharing this journey. And I still get scared. I'll be honest, I get scared to get on these podcasts, and every time someone asks me, but I'm willfully like, it's Him telling me like, this is what I'm doing, so don't run from it.
Yeah,
if you're gonna run from those vices, like don't run from this, because we're here to set captives free.
Right,
I was kind of like just everywhere with that. Sorry about that.
No, that's good. That's right on point. I mean, I just read the verse in Luke today where Jesus is launching His ministry, and He's like, "I came to set captives free." And you just quoted that that very verse. I think it's Luke chapter 4.
Wow.
And I think that part of how God's using you, it's like you've got the music side that you're writing, and your work is showing up in these shows and all that. But when you're willing to talk about the things you're talking about right now,
yeah,
I mean, so many people, I know you can write about maybe some of the stuff, but man, it's just like so many people are gonna be encouraged as you're willing to share your story. So I just really appreciate your willingness to do that. And there was a statement that you made once on Insta that really, I mean, man, it really stuck with me. You go, "It's been a long time in coming, but I actually like myself. You remember saying that?
I do. Yeah.
Tell me what was behind that? Yeah. What led to you putting that post out?
So there was a lot of ways where like, if I would try to fit into certain groups, even though I may have appeared to fit in with certain groups, I would always try to like, find validation, like in their approval, like, oh yeah, do they like me? Do all this. And I would like to be alone, but I had a tendency of being alone and still self-medicating instead of like meditating. I just try to do a little rhyme right there, or like prayer. Yeah. But like I said, when I felt like God showed me my whole life and I was able to truly be still, he showed me who I was, and I just began to enjoy my own company when I did have those alone times, to where, like I said, I saw myself how he saw me, and yeah, just realizing what he put me on earth here to do. And it may not look like what I think it should look like. Whether that's me comparing myself to a influencer on Instagram, because I dealt with all that too in this industry, like constantly comparing yourself. Why they get that many likes and I only get this many likes? Why do I feel like nobody listens? And then he began to tell me, like, if you just reach one or two, that's all that matters. We're not in here for validation. We're in here for purpose. We're here to set captives free. So wow. Just stay consistent what I called you. I allowed all this rejection so you could know what rejection feels like. They rejected me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So, and yeah.
Did you feel like what was the impact as you came to a place where God's helping you like yourself and not be stuck in this comparison game that nobody wins? Mm-hmm. How did that affect just your ongoing life? Like, I hear you say that, and I just feel like if I were in your shoes, I'd be like, you know what? I'm happier now. But I mean, how did that, did it have an effect on you on just your ongoing, just kind of how you felt like doing your thing?
Sorry, say that one more time. It kind of cut out.
Yeah. I'm asking, once you came to that place where you were like, I like myself, mm-hmm. How did it affect your just daily life? Like your level of joy or happiness or contentment? How did it just affect how you felt on the inside?
Man, it felt amazing. I felt very effective. I felt like more people were drawn to me, like as I would go throughout my day. It made me naturally want to care for others instead of like looking at the negatives in others because of how I felt.
Wow.
So I was just able to really just radiate that love and joy. Cause people are always projecting, whether that's good or bad. The one that I am still working on is, not taking things so personal. Cause like when you're hard on yourself, it's easy to like, if somebody cuts you off on the road, it's easy to like lash out, but it's instead of like thinking like maybe they're going through something as well. So I felt like the whole family around me was impacted by it because they seen the love and joy that I began to have. And yeah, so.
Man, that's really, really cool. It feels like when we're doing the comparison thing, and I've fell victim to that many, many times, and I think that's going to be a battle I keep having to just stay rooted in Christ. Yeah, but absolutely. It's interesting because when you're playing those games, you end up making everything about you because you're like, how do I stack up? How, you know, when my interaction with that person, it's not about that person or even what our relationship is. It ends up being like about me because I'm comparing. So it's interesting. Yeah. I love what you said. Like you started accepting and liking you and it actually freed you up to be present for others in a whole different way and to really be about them. That's amazing.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
You've talked about your health journey a good bit, and sometimes when I don't want to work out, I see you doing your thing, and I'm like, I got to get after it, because man, it's crazy. You've had a massive journey. Tell me, I mean, we've talked about this a little bit already, which is, it sounds like somewhere along the line you realized as you were just trying to get your mind in a good place, you started working out. But I mean, how did you make that jump to working out and yeah, just unpack that a little bit for me, just the whole health thing.
Yeah. So I was almost, when I had my first daughter, I was actually drinking heavy this year. I was still, what year was that? I think it was back in 2017 or something like that. I was drinking alcohol, and that was my other vice, just to be honest. And I nearly got to 300 pounds, and we lived in an apartment at the time, and going up the steps, and I was like, oh man, I got to do something with my life. So, you know, I started just working out. I had a friend and invited me to his gym, and I started working out. And as I'm still undergoing my mental loads, I would try different things of working out. But it really started catapulting when I changed my mental from, you know, what I just told you, to where I started being more conscious of what I was eating, because I was still kind of like eating bad, but still working out. So, I just got into running, and yeah, I don't know if I answered your question. My mind is
what's your when you first started, are you going twice a week, five times a week? What's your original kind of rhythm when you just started ramping up into it?
Yeah, I was going five times a week and then taking the weekends off.
Okay. So, and yeah. Then when you started, and it, like any trainer will say, oh, you know, like losing weight and getting healthy, 70%, I think they say, of being healthy or whatever is just what food you eat. Yeah. How did you make that change? Because that's, like, you know, you've got, you know, you're at home, your wife has her own preferences. You got, I don't know who does the cooking and all that, but then, like, did you guys have to say, like, okay, we've got to reevaluate this whole thing? Or how did you make the changes on the whole diet side of things?
Man, so in the first 2 months, I lost 60 pounds.
Wow.
Yeah. So I started off doing keto and intermittent fasting. So I was a little bit, I want to say I was a little bit on the unhealthy side of fasting. Losing weight that fast probably isn't ideal, but it helped me to get to that discipline of, like, the fasting aspect of it kind of helped over time. And I found out that you actually get more energy fasting, in a sense. So yeah, the wife, they were still doing whatever, but I was just like, I can do hard things. I got to that point to where, like, it's okay. I can do hard things. So yeah, I can't really explain. I was just like, I'm just going to do this. And once I made up my mind, I'm going to do it regardless of what it feels like. I know what I want the goal to look like, and I don't want to sway from that. So
when I started working out, it was interesting because I didn't actually work out because I had this big, I'm trying to be so healthy. Mm-hmm. What I could tell is, I was at times running from hard things, like not literally running physically, but in my mind, I didn't want to embrace difficult things.
Yeah.
And so I thought, I'm going to use running as kind of like physical now running as a spiritual discipline, where I don't feel like running and I've not historically been a runner, but I'm going to start running and using that as a way to retrain my mind to do exactly what you just said. I can do hard things, you know, and it's interesting because you start doing it, and then time after time, and then you start challenging, you know, I'm going to run a little bit longer. I'm going to try to do another mile or whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like you start building this muscle, not just the physical muscle, but like the muscle of resilience, the muscle of,
absolutely,
I do those hard things. Was that kind of that's what I hear was kind of playing out for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It was like you keep going, then you start building that confidence and that fortitude, and you're just like, yeah, I'm doing this. I'm still getting up when I don't feel like it. And then you start seeing it bleed into other areas of your life. And you're like, okay, what else can I do? It's like that type of thing. And it's just like, hey, if we can apply the same thing to everything in life, then we're just going to keep trying to grow. And it really teaches you just to enjoy the process. Mm-hmm. And not just the hard things, but yeah, just enjoying the process. A lot of times, I know some people can feel depressed after they meet a goal, because it's like, okay, now what's next? Mm-hmm. And that, I feel like that can be a sign of like, yo, just learn to enjoy the process. And once you do that, then you literally can do a lot more than you think you can do.
So, yeah, that's a great word.
Yeah.
How much weight did you end up losing? Do you mind me asking?
Well, right now I'm around 195. I also like running as well.
So you've lost over 100 pounds. That is fantastic. You had to go out and buy some new clothes.
I did. Yeah, I just got a new shirt, Hustle, Pray, Eat, and this is,
come on.
Yeah, it's kind of little. Big on me. So I should have got medium.
How much are you running?
I try to get like 10 to 15 miles. How about you?
I run 6 times a week, and I usually am around probably 25 or 30 miles a week. As long as I don't injure myself. That's the one thing I got to be careful of. I love running, but sometimes if I'm going to, I like to be on a, I run on typically on a treadmill.
Okay.
And part of why I do it, it's so weird, but I practice teaching stuff I'm going to do. So I have my iPad on the treadmill and I'll like be preaching while I'm running.
Wow.
And not full voice, but kind of. And it's weird because the running side, I was just talking with somebody else on Made to Advance about this, and she's a trainer and does YouTube videos for fitness and stuff. Mm-hmm. And like when I'm running, it's weird because it just, again, it unlocks something in my mind and heart. So while I'm running, I got my iPad with my notes that I'm preaching off of, and then I got my phone, and I'll dictate changes and edits and ideas. And then later on, I'll go right from the treadmill to my computer and sit down and try to take the stuff off my phone and put it into my notes. It's a sweaty mess, man, but it works for me. So thank God for the Holy Spirit, and he'll work anywhere.
get it how you can. Yeah, that's amazing.
Right.
Yeah, that's amazing.
Yeah, it's a crazy, I don't know. I'm sure there's somebody else that does it that way, but I have yet to meet the person who does that crazy way. Hey, do you know, when you think of your overall journey, as a producer, you've done a lot of cool things. I mean, you know, really to have some of the things that you've already done, working on an album that's gone as big as NF's has and Grammy nomination, all this stuff. Do you have anything that like you still go, hey, I really hope it would be amazing to do this or that? Any particular, like working with that kind of a person or doing that kind of project, any big dreams that you hold out there?
One of the biggest dreams is land on a movie trailer.
I
like I said, one of the songs that really inspired me was it's called What's Up Danger. It was on the first Spider Into the Verse. And I just love that because it kind of has that idea of what you and I have been talking about. Like, I can do hard things. I'm going to face my fears.
But
probably getting into like a movie. That would be a huge thing. I almost had a song for an Xbox song, but it didn't go through. But that would be the next thing. Getting into like a game or a trailer. That would be really cool.
When you write songs, are you thinking consciously, I'm writing right now, I'm sitting down to write what could be a movie trailer type song? Is that how it would work for you?
Yeah, sometimes.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of the stuff, I could see it like in the scene, like with All American, like it's easy to come up with concepts for that. Now, would they grab all of them? Probably not. But yeah.
Yeah. Well, I sure hope I get the chance someday to turn on a movie and be able to be like, man, that's Biko right there. Come on. I saw
it.
I think it's Apollo, right? That did Beacon Light have a song on Apollo? Am I getting that right?
Apollo. Yeah, Creed. Yep.
Creed. Yeah, sorry. Yep. Thank you.
Him and Tommy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
man, I just they must have been hype about that. Yeah.
And it was in competition with a Kanye song.
Is that right?
So he beat out Kanye, and I was like, man, that's it.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah. Well, I hope that'll be the case for you. Anything else you want to share, Brendan, before we get off the call?
No, just you can do hard things. If anybody's listening, that's kind of like having addictions. Just know that you're not alone. You can talk to someone. Just try, become free so you can set the other captives free. If you're a husband, don't be afraid to have that conversation with your wife. whatever struggle that is, especially when it comes to that subject of corn. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Mm-hmm. Well, again, thanks for coming on today. Thanks for being so transparent about your journey, both on social media, but also just being willing to expand and have a conversation today that gets so deep into your own journey. And I really, Brendan, I just hope keep creating. You're doing great work, man, and God's honoring your consistency and your faithfulness. I love that you get to do what you love. And I love that it's not all about you, that you continue to say, okay, how do I use my art and my just who God's made me to be a blessing to others. So keep up the great work, and thanks for hanging out on Made to Advance.
Man, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it. And I look forward to your book as well.
Well, I sure hope you enjoyed that conversation with Brendan. And it was a really good reminder to me that we can do hard things. And maybe you're wrestling with something that is very similar to Brendan, or maybe quite different. But what I see in his life is he set his mind to change things, and he was able to do that. And just know that as you take ownership and as you set your mind to overcome sometimes a very difficult thing, God is going to meet you in that process. And as you take a step forward, the Holy Spirit's going to be right there to keep you moving forward and help you take even more steps forward than you could take on your own strength. That's Brendan's story, and it's a great testimony, great encouragement for us today. Hey, if you have been encouraged by this conversation, let me ask you, please again, rate, review us. It helps us get the word out about Made to Advance, and it helps us line up more great guests. We have got incredible conversations on the way. And so until next time, just know you were made to advance.